Everything I got is done and pawned. Pawn my watch, pawn my chain, pawn everything that was in my name.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We have a lot to get to, so we will go right to it. And we welcome you to the program for this Friday before a holiday weekend. Hopefully you'll get some time to enjoy some portion of the holiday. And we're delighted that you are spending at least some time with us this morning. Let me introduce the group to you. Just a quick reminder that you can always write into us, panel@wamc.org. Joining us for the discussion this morning, we have, Judith Enck is here, former EPA Regional Administrator Judith Enck. Good morning, Judith.
Good morning.
How are you? Very terrific. Nice to have you with us. Now, Betsy Garthwaite is with us. She is president of the Hudson River Sloop Clearwater's Board of Directors. And Betsy, good morning. Very nice to have you with us.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks so much.
Now, we would have invited Betsy anyway, but tell us how she came to our program this morning.
So a few months ago, Clearwater very nicely honored me with an award, and part of that event included a silent auction, and WAMC very generously offered that we could auction off a seat in the studio for a roundtable show. And imagine my surprise when the president of Clearwater, Betsy Garthwaite, who I've known for years and just so admire, was the winning bidder. So that is how she finds herself on Central Avenue in Albany this morning.
At 9 o'clock in the morning to talk about all kinds of great stuff. And so, Betsy, we welcome you to the program. Just a quick reminder that the music we're playing this morning is all from the Clearwater Festival and from the Clearwater Revival, which is coming up. And you both are going to stay a little bit after the show and tell us about what's going on, but we'll have some wonderful music playing out throughout.
So, Betsy, what's the date on the revival?
Saturday and Sunday, June 16th and 17th.
Great.
It's always Father's Day weekend.
Great stuff. And an amazing lineup. So we'll talk about that. We just heard Rhiannon Giddens, and we'll hear some more great music coming up in a little bit. Malcolm Nance is here, counterterrorism expert, MSNBC analyst, and with us this morning. Malcolm, good morning.
Good morning. Just hold on. I'm putting them Clearwater dates in my iPhone.
Yay.
All right.
There you go.
Excellent. Everyone do it at home.
That's right. And WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. I'm just a shell of myself.
Today?
Yeah. A couple of reasons. I'm really very worried about making this challenged. You know, the Spitzer Foundation is giving us $25,000 if we can, by the first day, have $500,000 in the bank. Now, where are we now, Joe?
$319,730.
Wow. That's the good news. And the bad news is... Same thing. We have $180,000 to go before the following. We have basically, you know, a week to do this in now. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, 9 days.
Yeah, well, you can, depends on how you're counting. The way that I count is work days.
How are you counting?
Well, I'm scared. I'm really worried. I'm a shell of myself.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
No, see, I don't count Saturdays and Sundays.
Oh, well, you should.
Yeah, well, I suppose. So I'm very worried about that, and I'm imploring everybody to just make us whole. Make this thing happen. We raise $100,000. Usually, every day we're on the air in a fund drive. So if you think about it, and we've raised much more than that, we've raised up to $500,000 on less several drives, you know, to make the million dollars. But right now, I always get scared, Rosella always says to me. Don't get scared, honey. You'll make it. You're always going to make it. I say, I'm a little bit worried. The other thing that's making me a shell of myself is this freezing in the studio here. And I'm a little concerned.
It's 72 degrees.
Our guest just put a sweater on, and that's no way to treat a guest.
She's a boat captain. She can take it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, when we came in here, there was a complaint that it was too warm. So
who? By which people?
I'm staying out of this.
Okay, all right.
You need those WAMC fleeces to sell as part of your fun drive.
We can go turn it down.
Okay, so the answer is no. It's all right, Joe. If everybody would just do something right now and make me, you know, a little bit saner, if that's possible.
Okay. Can I tell people what we got going on?
Yeah.
All right. So a way to make some money this morning, and hopefully a lot of it, is we have a really special, cool thing. If you've been listening to our program when Malcolm has been on over the last several weeks, you know that Malcolm is busily putting the final touches on his latest book. It comes out in the end of June. It is called The Plot to Destroy Democracy, How Putin and His Spies Are Undermining America and Dismantling the West. You've talked a little bit about what all that's about, and it's the brand new hardcover book that Malcolm will be doing. We're going to have a launch party for the book at the Linda as part of a roundtable panel live discussion. All of this will take place on Friday, July 13th at 8:15 to 10:30, and so you come in and we'll have breakfast. We'll have the panel. Alan and I will host. Malcolm will be our sole guest. And then we're just going to be talking about what the plot to destroy democracy. And then a good portion of the show is going to be questions from people that they have in the audience and asking Malcolm and getting to talk to Malcolm and the group. It's going to be a really amazing morning. We only have 200 tickets to this. It's $125. And with $125, you get the opportunity to be in the room where it happens, featuring Malcolm Nance, the Roundtable Panel Live. You get breakfast, and you get a copy of the book.
You get a copy of the book?
You get a copy of the book.
Yeah.
Brand new, fresh off the presses. And then at the end, or in the middle, or in the beginning, at some point, you'll get your book when you walk in. If you would like, Malcolm would love to sign it for you.
Yeah, wow. I would. As a matter of fact, I think this is a great opportunity because if anybody knows, I wrote a book called Plot to Hack America. This is the sequel to Plot to Hack America.
Son of the Black Stallion.
Yeah, sort of. And it's part of a three-book series, and the next book will be announced at this event, what the name of the next book. Let's just say the word treason's involved in it. But this book is probably
make this stuff up?
You know, old spies,
what an
baby.
Imagination.
So this book is possibly, it is the single most important book that I've written. I've written several books about ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all that. There is no greater threat today than there is to the threat to democracy that's going on. And if you love and care about democracy, I'm going to come and outline things that were cut out of the book. I actually cut 40,000 words. Wow. We had to create a third book out of it. So please come and
oh, so
to this
is
event.
Like the director's cut.
It is. Oh, it's definitely
oh,
the director's cut.
Oh, that's
cut.
Great.
By the way, I have to apologize for something I just said. I did not have any reference to that at all. I was just thinking about sequels.
Oh.
You know, Black Stallion and all the rest of it. But now it occurs to me I might be in a little trouble here, and I want to apologize deeply because I didn't mean anything like that.
This guy, there's no HR here.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
I didn't even get the joke.
Okay. Well, it wasn't the joke.
I was just watching without a sweater.
Okay. But, yeah, I am
what's
cold.
The date again?
It's July 13th, mm-hmm. Friday, July 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th, Friday, July 13th. We've had a lot of events on Friday the 13th, and they seem to go well, so we're going to stick with it.
Joe, I was just going to say about that the last time when we honored Malcolm, the tickets were gone in about an hour.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. The thing just sold out. So if you want to get in on it, now's the time to do it.
Now, we only have 200 single tickets. If you've ever been in the Linda, you know it's tight quarters. So, but that's that makes for a very nice, intimate event. And we can get around that room. We can get, I can get to everybody in the audience. We get a lot of questions in, and it'll be a lot of fun. So, $125. You get the book. Well, you get the ticket to the event. You get a copy of the book, and then you, and breakfast.
It's always a lovely breakfast.
Colleen and Woody
it
do
really
an amazing
is.
Job. They do a great job.
Colleen and Woody Catering.
That's
thank
right.
you.
And also, it is, and you'll have your opportunity to get your book signed after the show or during the show when we have some breaks. So it's a really cool thing. And again, we only have 200 tickets, so they will probably, hopefully, be gone by the end of our hour. We need everybody to. We have all eyes on this. We have operators standing by. We're watching our. Our tickets and keeping track of our numbers. So,
Joe, just to clarify, it's $125 per ticket.
Per ticket, yeah. Per single mm-hmm. ticket.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. A bargain with a book.
And everybody will get a book. That's right.
University of Iowa sold out 1,000 people to a speech I gave a year ago.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I had to go to Iowa. So you guys, you're my neighbors, so I expect to see you all.
All right. Well, I'm very excited. This is going to be a very cool event, and we're going to have you all to ourselves on July 13th, Friday, July 13th, the doors will open at 8:15. We'll start the show, obviously, at 9. We'll go to 10:30. We'll have the books, and there'll be a book signing following. Yeah. You're going to have breakfast for a while there. It'll all be lovely. So 1-800-323-9262 is the telephone number. You can also go online, wamc.org. It is available in the pull-down menu. But you can call us. We have operators standing by. 1-800-323-9262. But please remember, we only have 200 tickets. And when they are gone, they are gone. 1-800-323-9262. And we thank Malcolm for being so nice and for doing this. We look forward to having everybody there and to do a great show from the Linda. We love doing our live events. They're always a great deal of fun. I think they've almost all of them have been sold out, so it's just a lovely time together. So we hope you're there with us. 1-800-323-9262. It's $125. You get the book, the breakfast, the ticket, all that good stuff.
Yep.
And we desperately need it now so we can help fill that lockbox and get to the halfway point in the fun drive before June 4th and make the $25,000 challenge. All right. With all of that said, and I'll be reminding you that throughout the morning, but let's get to stories in the news. We begin with North Korea. Of course, we talked about it yesterday as a story broke during our program yesterday about the cancellation of the summit with North Korea, now raising fears of renewed tensions and destabilization. President Trump's abrupt decision Thursday to abort a summit next month with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un left the White House scrambling to explain the outcome to allies amid fears that the collapse of talks would mean a return to heightened tensions between nuclear powers in East Asia. Trump announced he was pulling out of a planned meeting in Singapore on June 12th in a letter to Kim that came less than 12 hours after a North Korean official had personally disparaged Vice President Pence, he called him a dummy, and warned of a nuclear showdown if the United States did not alter its tone ahead of the summit. In a missive that aides said the president dictated, Trump was by turns regretful of the missed opportunity and adamant that he would not tolerate the tremendous anger and open hostility, that is a quote, from North Korea. The president pointedly warned Kim that he oversees a nuclear weapons arsenal. That he oversees a nuclear weapons arsenal that is, quote, so massive and powerful that I pray to God they will never have to be used.
That's a little disconcerting.
I pray to God they never have to be used either. But all right, Malcolm.
Okay. When this whole debacle started, I think everybody in the roundtable agreed very early on, two months ago, that Donald Trump was being played by North Korea. And they are experts at this game. North Korea has been playing this game since 1954, at the end of the Korean War, ratcheting up tensions, building drama, having agreements, breaking the agreements. They did the same thing to the Clinton administration. They said they would fully denuclearize. But now North Korea has viable working atomic bombs, launchable ballistic missiles where they can strike parts of the United States and all of Asia. They are in the driver's seat right now. That being said, Donald Trump wants a photo op, and he wants what he felt that he should always have gotten, and that is to be greater and better than Barack Obama. And Barack Obama, when he got that Nobel Prize on a projection that he would be a great president, Donald Trump wants a Nobel Prize, and the way he's going to do it is he thinks he can buy North Korea, this hardline communist dictatorship, which, you know, despite the fact that it's run by a government of one, it is supported by generals and other people and families who have bought into this system for 60-some-odd years. North Korea is not going to disarm. They are playing essentially the game of where you put a dollar bill at the end of a fishing hook and you leave it on a street, and Donald Trump is the sucker who thinks he's going to pick up that dollar bill every time and it's jerked away from him. Trump signaled this morning that he was absolutely desperate to conclude these, to get these talks going. His letter yesterday, where he had that threat of atomic war, said, you know, you can call me anytime, anywhere, and let's get this thing going back. Kim Jong-un understands the desperate measures Donald Trump is willing to take, and he will play us to the hilt.
To what end, Malcolm?
To what end? To do lessening of the sanctions on him, not by the United States. He doesn't care at all that the United States is involved in this. He knows that by at least bringing them his government to equal parity to the United States, that China and Russia will see them as a viable working partner with some concessions, like they showed yesterday, the destruction of the mountainside where they were testing their atomic bombs. It had already collapsed on itself, by the way, right? So all they did was blew up the entrance to a mountain that had collapsed. So by making these minor concessions, China and Russia can parlay with the United States and try to raise sanctions, because that's a body of people that is a market that right now is open only to China. Russia wants to sell them oil. China wants to sell them goods. North Korea wants those goods to solidify the regime. And Donald Trump is willing to give away the entire farm plus his neighbor's farm in order to get a photo op.
I think when the meeting was first announced, we were all skeptical but rooting for it to succeed, because anything to reduce nuclear tensions in the world is a good thing. We were skeptical for sure. But I think all along, Kim Jong-un knew what he wanted out of this. I think he primarily wanted relief on sanctions. He didn't want the United States to proactively take out some of their nuclear capacity. And he wants a different relationship with China. Trump is a terrible negotiator. So much for art of the deal. He was all over the map. Remember, one day he's very aggressive. The next day, when he went to greet those poor prisoners who finally got out of jail, he met them at 3 a.m. and said that Kim Jong-un treated them, his word, excellently. I mean, how do you say that when you're welcoming back 3 Americans who were held in captivity? And like, it was a ping pong every day. It was different.
There was a weird line in the letter yesterday about the thank you for
taking care of them.
Thank you for as if
one
there was like a
was
baby
held in the dark for the better part of a year.
Right. And so we kind of knew this was not going to end well.
Well, so Judith, let me ask you a question in contradistinction to what Malcolm has just told us. Did you, as an individual, ever believe that Kim would, in fact, under the right circumstances, agree?
We're going to hold that question because I got to take a break. But we're right back. Write it down. Remember it. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. Help the lockbox. We'll be right back.
Time stopped when you said hello, when you left. The clock began to breathe again. Now all I do is think about the puzzle that remains. Your name, it is unpronounceable, distorted and illegible.
Well, I'll just tell you, I love They Might Be Giants, and they're going to be at the Clearwater Festival, and we're going to talk about that later on about 10:30. But Betsy will tell us all about that, and we're very excited. Hey, we're also excited that a lot of tickets are going out the door. So if you want yours, get it now. This is for a ticket and a book for the Roundtable Panel live at the Linda on Friday, July 13th. Doors open at 8:15. Show starts at 9, and we'll be going from 9 to 10:30. And Malcolm Nance will be our sole guest. We'll be talking about his brand new book. It's a book launch for The Plot to Destroy Democracy, How Putin and His Spies Are Undermining America and Dismantling the West. It's your chance to be a part of our crew, but also to ask questions. It's going to be very question-heavy during that show, so we welcome you to talked to NBC News and MSNBC counterterrorism analyst Malcolm Nance about the new book. He's already promised that there's going to be things that are not in the book that he'll be secrets that he will be divulging on our program. Yeah.
But the last time we honored Malcolm in this way, the tickets were gone in an hour.
Yeah.
So if in fact you want one, and by the way, I got a lot of calls that time, and people were really angry at me. And I said, I can't help you. You have to do it when you have to do it right now. So that number is 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-9262, or go to WAMC.org. They will count. Don't worry about that. They're time stamped. And if you do it online, it'll count. Believe me, it will.
That's right. We have the inventory set, so whenever they go, they go. And if you order one ticket, it takes one off. If you order three tickets, it takes three off.
It's a hot ticket.
Simple as that. It is a hot ticket already, and we welcome you. We welcome you to
and you get breakfast.
You get breakfast. You get you get the pleasure of our company.
It's a really good breakfast.
It is fun. It's very fun. And we're going to have a very good time. We look forward to everybody being there. It is July 13th, Friday, July 13th. And again, the doors open at 8:15. The show starts at, and that gives you some time to mingle, talk to us, and also get your breakfast. And then get a copy of your book. Then we'll do the show from 9 to 10:30. Malcolm will sign the books afterwards, so it's all good. We welcome you right now to call WAMC.org. You can do it online or the phone number 1-800-323-9262. The hope would be that all 200 tickets will be gone by the end of this time, so you know, we'll see what we do.
You know, Joe, it's a Friday, and we have our two superstars here, Malcolm, of course, and Judith Ink. And Judith is, of course, the person I expect when the Democrats take over, who is going to be the next, who will be the next Secretary of the Environment.
Holy cow, get and, your broom.
And Malcolm.
I love Alan, you're my career counselor on the show.
Well, I told both of you to run for Congress in the 19th, but neither of you would do it.
Lots of good candidates for
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, I've been meeting them. But yeah, Judith will need a giant shovel, a snow shovel in a 40-yard container just to clear out Pruitt's desk.
Well, there at least there'll be a secret phone booth in Pruitt's office for those sensitive
phone
calls
that you want to make.
Well, then you can use those to continue to be on the show every Friday. You can just call us.
That's right.
Be great. Nobody'll know. We won't tell anybody.
I liked calling in when I was in the U.S. Virgin Islands on the satellite phone, and it was amazing that the phone worked. You wouldn't believe how I needed to get to a certain position at the end of the runway of an airport, but you can do this show, you know, people call in.
Sounded better than most cell phones that we use.
Isn't it amazing that the EPA has turned into this thing from an innocuous environmental agency, which, you know, keeping your water and your air clean, to literally being the nexus of all corruption in the administration.
Yeah.
You know, evil. I mean, the EPA is, you know, the evil protection agency.
Well, Scott Pruitt is now under 12 separate federal ethics investigations.
And Trump
12.
Loves him.
Trump loves him. He's keeping him on. Pruitt is set up. He's got his attorney. He's got a legal defense fund. And I have real questions about who is contributing to that legal defense fund. It's probably the oil and gas industry and the chemical
Wouldn't
industry.
Wouldn't that be strange?
But it's probably happening before us. But my goodness, how is he going to run the agency if he has to respond to 12 different ethics investigations?
I would start tracking where those garbage barges are going now, because he's probably allowing secret dumping all over the country we don't know about.
And meanwhile, he is keeping reporters away from EPA.
Astonishing. Just some reporters. It was so bizarre. We're referring to a really important meeting that happened at EPA a few days ago on toxins in drinking water, PFOA, like in Hoosick Falls, and PFOS, like in Newburgh. And some reporters were let in. Others were blocked at the door. The AP reporter was physically picked up by her shoulders and shoved out of the EPA building. Yeah. This is astonishing.
And specifically CNN.
Yep.
Was kept out.
CNN, Associated Press, and E&E, which is like a dorky insider environmental policy publication that only the likes of me reads. Why are you blocking E&E? I mean, it's about the latest part per million and the latest regulation. But, my takeaway from that is EPA is just so incompetent. They can't even handle what they want it to be a good news story, and it's actually not a good news story. They're not going to be more aggressive on drinking water protection, but they couldn't even handle, the guest list to get into the building.
No, look, they got to maintain their cred with the White House, and by kicking journalists out,
right,
going the full Dr. Evil routine, I think that they're doing an awesome job. I mean, really, the Evil Protection Agency.
So then they go to social media, and at that point, the reporters are apologized to, and they say, well, you can come to the afternoon meeting.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And they also said you could come the next day.
Which
and some reporters went, and they were blocked again. And not to pile on here, they also said, well, we're going to live stream the meeting. They, for people who weren't in Washington, who weren't invited, they live streamed the presentation by the American Chemistry Council downplaying the health risks of toxins. And then guess what? The live stream went dead. When the next presentation was up, there was nothing. What a coincidence.
The next presentation
was an environmental voice.
No, it was the introduction of sharks with lasers on their freaking heads. these guys are going for the medal.
Betsy, when you think about how an environmental organization would normally deal with the EPA, how have you seen, I assume it's a seismic change.
Oh, absolutely. At the EPA at the federal level, and then also, here in New York State, we have the DEC at the state level. And, there are times where you're adversarial, but you're also forming partnerships in order to get things done. And I know that, Judith, when the Hoosick Falls drinking water crisis came to light, she was the one that was demanding, that the water be tested, that people be aware of what safe levels were. And we depend on the EPA, not just in terms of policy, but their budget pays for a lot of people to do this type of testing. And, it's a public health issue. It's a public safety and health issue. It's not big bad business versus tree huggers. The EPA is there to protect everyone in this country, and I don't think we want to roll back the regulations so that, we have the kind of situation that we did in the 60s.
So let me ask you a question, if I can. Here you are running, you're the chair of the Clearwater. We all, those of us in this room, love the Clearwater. I mean, we love our Pete, and we love the Clearwater and what he did with it and his foresight in doing all of this. But my question to you is, the Clearwater takes on much more importance than it had before Trump, right?
Well, I think any environmental organization does. And, part of what Clearwater does maybe better than some other organizations, because we don't have a lot of means for litigation, but we do try to educate people. And we try to educate young people, and we try to educate our members, and people, people are really upset about what's going on here. And here in the Hudson Valley, we have seen what cleaning up a waterway can do to the local economy. And it's why we have bipartisan support in the Hudson Valley for environmental protection, because of the success story of the river and how much people want to be out on the river and dining by the river and living by the river and hiking and boating and everything else.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue. Alan's got some letters. We'll do those. And we will also give you a chance to go help the lockbox. Get your ticket for the Malcolm Nance event. And it's
and don't be calling me up later on telling me you can't get in. Don't be calling me up.
You get a copy of the book. It's The Plot to Destroy Democracy. It's our roundtable panel live at the Linda, July 13th, featuring Malcolm Nance launching his new book. And it's $125. We have single tickets. They are going very, very quickly, very quickly. So please, if you want them, get them now. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. We will be back right after this.
I am allergic to water. It itches my throat and it blisters my skin. Still, I drink 'cause I have to. I bathe 'cause I have to. Boy, it's a pain. But I don't cry 'cause it hurts to cry. And I don't go outside in the rain.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We love having you with us, and we were just about to go to letters. Just a reminder that we have the tickets for the roundtable panel live at the Linda with Malcolm Nance and launching the new book, How the Plot to Destroy Democracy, How Putin and His Spies Are Undermining America and Dismantling the West. So we will feature our own spy for have breakfast with a spy.
The only NPR spy we know.
That's right. Breakfast with a spy.
As far as we know.
There's a few up here.
How is that not worth $125, breakfast with a spy? That's a good deal, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, I'm on the board of the International Spy Museum, and they do a dinner with a spy, and I think it's $250.
Hmm. Oh, more.
No, see, now this is great.
Yeah. So, Albany prices.
I've been hoping that we would have you, you know, here amongst us so that you could sort of give us the skinny on what's happened with this Trump business about the spy and his group.
The fake spy.
What can you tell us that will help us here?
Well, clearly you missed my rant the other night on Brian Williams.
What time was that?
It was 11:30.
Well, of course
it
was. I've been waiting for 3 hours.
You know, what's happening here is very simple, and I love to hear anyone who feels that I'm wrong on this. Donald Trump is hiding something, and his only way he understands that at the end of the day this will become a political situation. It will become where public opinion will determine whether he lives or he remains in office, and he is playing the base. He is playing the WWE watching audience, and by doing that he comes and he makes counterclaims against anyone that's investigating him. So now he's saying U.S. law enforcement, whose job it is to hunt out people who are committing crimes, that U.S. law enforcement inserted a spy into his campaign while he was campaigning in order to trick him or to, I've heard, plant information, plant fake, you know, operations in there. No. What has happened is this. When this whole shebang began, and the FBI and U.S. intelligence were given indications that a Trump staffer named George Papadopoulos had been drinking with the Australian ambassador to Great Britain, and he had bragged to him. This is months before the DNC hacking had come out. He had bragged to him that they had access to the Democratic Party's hacked emails and Hillary Clinton's emails. And unlike the American citizen George Papadopoulos, who should have gone to the FBI, Australia's diplomat went to Australian intelligence organization, ASIO, and they notified the FBI and U.S. intelligence that an American citizen was claiming they were in on a hacking of the DNC and of Hillary Clinton's emails. The U.S. government
all good law enforcement said, well, we have to validate this. And they found that they had someone who knew him, and he just sort of asked around the periphery. That's called a confidential informant. Every policeman who's on the street has confidential informants every day, coming up to them and telling them things. It is not a spy. A handled, intelligence-trained asset of the FBI would be an employee of the FBI who would be inserted in there, who would live a double life and a cover story the way they did with the Ku Klux Klan and the neo-Nazis. No, this is just a guy who was already on the inside who came up and asked around about these things. Trump understands the threat of this. He understands that this is a mortal danger. There was a person in the campaign who may have had information as far back as 24 to 30 months ago, who may have gotten inside information. So he attacks them by saying he's a spy, and he created that hashtag Spygate. And technically, he's correct. There is a Spygate. Trump campaign officials may have been working with Russian spies. That's the real Spygate. The FBI, if they hadn't done this, it's malpractice, you know? A threat to the United States electoral system and to the Trump campaign. Quite possibly that kid could have been a Russian intelligence asset. Of course the FBI was going to look into it. But as we all know, Donald Trump has something to hide. And he is now scrambling furiously to destroy the FBI. Which I want to see how that works out when there's another terrorist attack.
But isn't this all by going and doing the whole Spygate thing, isn't that only exacerbating the problem for him?
He doesn't understand that. This is a guy who plays by the WWE rules, right? All right, when you get knocked out of the ring, you jump back in, you pound your chest, and you stand on top of the ropes, and then you appeal to the audience as to what should happen next. It's all pantomime for him.
And the audience is eating it up. I mean, I was really surprised to see Ari Fleischer, who was Bush's spokesperson on Fox yesterday, saying that, well, if this happened, it's serious. And
by the way, they're all
this...
saying that, Judith, if it happened.
Even Giuliani is saying if.
Yeah, he is. You're right.
You do all the ifs, but then Ari Fleischer said, if it happened, they would have had to have permission. The FBI would have had to have permission from President Obama, and maybe Obama is involved. So they're just kind of fanning the flames. But
let's go over the Obama scandals that should have happened. Obama authorized a wiretap on Trump Tower. The moron doesn't even understand how U.S. intelligence collection occurs, right? We don't go and put physical wiretaps into your thing anymore. You're using an unsecure phone.
And the birth certificate was a total lie. But I think the real corrosive thing is what happened yesterday in Washington when the FBI and Department of Justice were brought in to reveal very sensitive information on an ongoing criminal investigation. And you had Emmett Flood, the president's attorney, and John Kelly attending this briefing. And most importantly, some members of Congress who came out said there's no evidence of any spy being part of the Trump campaign to help Hillary, but the precedent that, because I think this is a big nothing burger, but the precedent that Congress is read in on confidential criminal investigations is astonishing.
Well, I mean, it's Trump's consigliere, right? This is like an FBI investigation into the mafia, and then you invite the mafia don's lawyer and the mafia don's chief of staff
in for a
to sit into the FBI private briefing on your case.
And don't you think
never in the history
and
of
don't
America.
You guys all think that they got into a little trouble on this? First, it was just going to be the Republicans.
Right.
Then, when the heat got turned up, it was going to be in 2 weeks we're going to have the Gang of Eight coming on. Then it was first we'll have the Republicans, and then immediately thereafter, didn't make any sense at all. We'll invite some of the Democrats into the briefing. It just defies the imagination.
Right.
And
right.
It is a bit of, as you've indicated, Malcolm, a bit of a constitutional crisis.
It is.
Because here you have the president's people walking into the White House, into the congressional investigation, as if they're part of the Congress.
Emmett Flood, who should know better, who is a high-powered lawyer, he should be disbarred.
And also, why did Congress let them stay? Why were they so cowardly? Why didn't they? I know Nunes wouldn't.
Because take a look at
they should have said, leave the room. This is a confidential briefing.
But take a look at Nunes.
Right.
Look at who he is. He's a tool, you know, of the White House.
But I think, Alan, you're right. I think they really misplayed this because they were under pressure to then allow Democrats in the room. And then the cover was blown. And Adam Schiff came out and said, there's no evidence of a spy in the campaign. Full stop. And so they're going to have a hard time keeping this going. I didn't think they expected.
Mitch McConnell, for God's sakes. Yeah. I mean, Mitch McConnell yesterday saying, well, look, we're going. This all seems to make sense, right?
It's on the up and up. And they were given a warning about
I missed McConnell. So he rebutted this as well.
McConnell came out and said that he had faith in the investigation. Yeah.
Yes, but he also said in his typical way, but I also like the idea that this other investigation into the FBI is going on.
No,
he backed the Mueller probe.
He's never going to be a profile in courage, Mitch
Mark
McConnell.
My words. I'm going to give you a prediction because, look, I've predicted the fall of African potentates and third world dictators for decades. Devin Nunes will become a target of this investigation at some point.
And
he will be found to be co-conspirator or an unindicted co-conspirator. That guy has some protections under the debate and argument clause, I think it is, in Congress. But the things that he has done that have supported the Trump campaign are going to show up in somebody's wiretap.
And equally important, at the ballot box, he's in a very tough re-election race. He may not be returning to Congress, which may be why he's acting so recklessly.
Yeah, I know somebody in his district who is whose 84-year-old mother is on jihad against Devin Nunes, and she was a Republican.
I get that. I have a confession to make. I have never sent money because of what I do here to a political candidate. I just don't believe in it. But every once in a while in the middle of the night, I say, I got to go down there and write a check of Nunes.
The Democrat is running very well.
I haven't done it.
Of course not, but you feel like it. But others can. But I think having David Nunes not in the House of Representatives would be a fantastic public service to the nation.
I think that the House Intelligence Select Committee, run by Democrats and independents who caucus with democracy and the
hold up the Constitution. And just honest, reasonable people. I mean, I don't care what their party affiliation is. I just want them to have integrity and be honest. And there are some Republicans that fit that bill. They're just not chairing these committees.
Just look at this. Devin Nunes is, what was he, a used car salesman or something?
Alarms.
Yeah, he has
ISA. Daryl ISA.
He had nothing. Nothing on his resume which would have put him as the head of the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Nothing. No armed services experience. No intelligence experience. Nothing.
No
he
intelligence.
I was going to say the same thing.
He is a political.
Opening in the Catskills.
He's a political hitman who was put on that committee in order to control intelligence. And now we've seen he is willing to compromise the national security of the United States in order to protect a campaign which we now know has been in a spy hunt for 24 months.
And we will remember that Nunes took himself out. So what's he doing in that meeting yesterday anyway?
Right. Yeah, he was supposed to recuse himself. Yeah. That didn't last long.
Laws don't apply to these guys. They're theoretically responsible for these. That first meeting should never have happened. As far as I'm concerned, that is just going to be another count of conspiracy. Mm-hmm. The second meeting was the authorized gang of eight who have the authority to listen to top secret SCI material. So I think the first meeting, you'll find out that was probably a coordination meeting.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation, go over to Ray Graff with news first. A reminder, you can get your ticket. We're more than a quarter of the way through of the tickets. So if you want them, get them now. They're going very, very quickly. It's a single ticket and a book for the Roundtable Panel Live featuring Malcolm Nance on Friday, July 13th. Doors open at 8:15, shows at 9, goes to 10:30. You get a copy of Malcolm's brand new book, the plot to destroy democracy. He'll tell us really scary stories, and it'll be a lot of fun. And you can answer, you can ask your questions, get them answered, and Malcolm will sign your book at the end. So it'll be a great morning, wonderful breakfast, all included. All you have to do is call us right now, 1-800-323-9262. This all goes in the lockbox. 1-800-323-9262. We'll be right back.
There's a random painted highway in the muzzle of bees. My sleeves have come unstitched from climbing your tree. And dogs laugh, some say they're barking, but don't think they mean. Some people get so frightened, the fences in between.
Jeff Tweedy of Wilco fame, performing Muzzle of Bees. He'll be one of the artists playing the Clearwater Festival on the 16th and 17th of June. And we will talk more about Clearwater's revival coming up just a little bit after 10:30 this morning. Betsy Garthwaite is with us, president of Hudson River Sloop Clearwater. She's one of our panel members this morning. And Judith Ankus here, Malcolm Nance, and Alan Chartok. We welcome your letters panel at WAMC.org. The tickets are flying, so if you really
flying out the window.
And I know we say that, but they really are going more than half. So if you want one, you should get it now. So in the in 25 minutes or a half hour, we did almost half. So in the next, we would assume that if we keep up that pace, they'll be gone by the end of the show. So keep going, and if you want in, you can get in. But it's July 13th. Doors open at 8:15. People have been asking very specific questions when they call in outside. I've been kind of eavesdropping on the conversations. They ask things like, well, when do I get my tickets? Well, it's not a ticketed event. You'll just be at the will call. So you just come in. We'll have your name, and we'll give you your book, and you come on in, so you don't have to worry about tickets. We'll send you a confirmation email so you know, and you can bring that, and that'll be certainly easy enough to do. There's parking. We have a lot. It's 8:15 in the morning is when the doors open. We'll get you in. We're accessible, so you can get in that way, and so all of that good stuff. It's Malcolm Nance talking about his brand new book, The Plot to Destroy Democracy. And who's your publisher? It's a great publisher.
Hachette.
Yeah, that's great. So it's The Plot to Destroy Democracy, and Malcolm will be joining us for the roundtable panel on the 13th of July, and we really look forward to it. Your name will be on the will call list, and you will be with us in a room talking to Malcolm and having him scare the zippers off of us. All you have to do is call, pledge $125 for a ticket and a book and a breakfast and seeing the show, 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org. All right, let's go to some letters.
Dear esteemed panel, says Sandy, I want to go see Malcolm and you all, but the only way I can get out of work for that morning is with sick time and a doctor's note. Do you think Dr. Chartok would write me a note stating I could be at work that morning? I couldn't be at work that morning because I'm heartsick and mentally anguished, and so I had a counseling appointment with him. I have a more real question. I watch MSNBC mostly all day. It's available when I hear what they have to say and hear the alternative station Fox. I wonder, aren't Malcolm and Hayes, Matthews, Maddow, O'Donnell just preaching to the choir? How do we get through to that 35%-ish? How do we persuade them? Because logic and statistics and facts aren't working. Thanks, Sandy.
That's a good question. First off, I can have Dr. Dickens write you a note. That's my beagle.
And, Dr. Dickens.
Yes.
I like it.
And he's more therapeutic than Alan.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right.
He'll kiss you back to happiness. But that's a good question about how do you break through to the rest? You can't. You can't. Unfortunately, our national brethren who watch only Fox News, they have locked themselves into a hermetically sealed bubble of information. I know a lot of people who are like that. One of my, a guy who's trying to get an anti-terrorism certification right now in law enforcement, it's just, he just will not believe anything that does not come from Donald Trump or Fox News. And he, what will happen is that history will correct this problem.
Yeah, so in other words, you think something will happen, so do I.
I mean, well...
Take a look at Dick Nixon. You know, it took the tapes, all right. But then when the game was up, the game was up. I suspect, we don't know a thing about what Mueller's done, but I suspect there's going to be enough here so that there will be a lot of people. Look, a lot of women, for example, got very turned off when the whole Donald Trump and his famous quote about where he grabs people and how and all the rest of it. People are incredibly so naive that they will never, ever turn. They will turn.
Well, during Watergate, the polls where people were bored with this, the investigation was dragging on for too long, and then we know what happened. And I think, you know, for the Mueller investigation, it doesn't matter what people think. He and his staff of very competent men and women are following the law, following the trail. I do worry, though, about how corrosive our dialogue and our discourse has become. And I don't put Fox News and MSNBC in the same category at all. Clearly, MSNBC has a bias, but they don't lie and they don't, they don't perpetuate hate and division. And sadly, and I'm not hopeful that this is going to happen anytime soon, but I think the country changes when Fox News starts being a real news organization and questions some of Trump's policies. They're so cozy, you know, Hannity and Trump talking on the phone every night. It's just fraudulent. But until Fox switches a bit, we're not going to reach a lot of the people who are diehard Trump supporters.
But Judith, at some point, even Fox will have to turn and say, if we have to, you know, when it all comes out, it's going to have to say our reputation in terms of our future, we cannot be seen as being what you've just stated so eloquently. We have to start to take back some territory. Malcolm makes predictions. I'm going to predict that's what they're going to do. They're going to have to.
And there are a couple, like Shepard Smith and a few others are speaking
Shep
truth.
Smith is an instrument. When the Russians took over, when Vladimir Putin took over the state media in Russia, which for about 10 years was relatively free, when they took over state media, he had his friends buy it, just outright buy it. Anyone who got in his way, they seized their assets, then sold those assets to allies of the state. I think that there are two legitimate news organizations out there. And there is one that is state-run media. And they worked to support and prop up the state, even if that means they have to lie.
But there's more than two. I mean, I assume you're saying
CNN and MSNBC. But, you know, for the most part, if you have a state media, then anyone that listens to that, they will know nothing other than what they have.
Right.
And everything, and this is the part that scares me the most, everything is a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Jones is the most popular American in media in Russia. Okay? Alex Jones from InfoWars, because he spouts these conspiracy theories that validate everything they had been told since 1917 over there about the West, which is when you come to my event for the plot to destroy democracy, you will leave terrified. I mean, there is a massive,
well,
that wasn't a plot.
That's a way to sell the tickets, Malcolm. There you go.
No.
I've
written five books on terrorists, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, mass murder, and beheadings. What's happening in Europe and the United States with Russia today is far, far more terrifying, and it will affect the lives of every individual who's listening.
Okay, so Olaf writes a letter saying, great discussion. Good morning, panel. I find it ironic that everybody's talking about North Korea and Russia being such a threat to the world when nobody is talking about the real threat. Carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is increasing at such an alarming rate that within the next 30 years, the stability of our climate system might be damaged to the point that it can't support life as we know it anymore only 30 years from now. Mm-hmm. If we don't blow ourselves up, we sure as hell will destroy ourselves by destroying our environmental support system.
I look forward to having Judith find the PowerPoint that Scott Pruitt makes up where he had an evil plan to increase carbon dioxide in the atmosphere so that the Arctic ice, polar ice caps would melt, so that would mm-hmm. increase shipping yeah. around the world.
It's happening. I mean, it's happening in plain sight. I mean, 2016 was the hottest year on record. 16 of the 17 hottest years all occurred since 2001. And it's not just heat. It's also the melting ice caps. It's intense storms. It's sea level rise.
Acidification of the ocean.
It's a slow death. It's a relatively slow death. But there are a lot of scientists who believe that we really just, I know we're not supposed to preach gloom and doom, but we really don't have much time to reverse the trend.
Peter says, attacking law enforcement. It seems like the FBI and the DOJ cannot defend themselves against Trump's attacks because they're supposed to be apolitical, and to counter Trump's claims is to join the political dispute. So the claims stay out there.
Well, if you want to uphold the law, you have to live by the law. You have to operate by the law. And along that geologic change pathway that the laws are set upon. If you are a charlatan, you can play by any rules that you want. You can make up anything and shout it out to the sky.
Well, look at Harvey Weinstein got away with breaking the law for decades. Just being held accountable in the last hour.
Ellen says, good morning, panel. Malcolm, to my limited vision, it looks like Trump is winning. He gets away with everything by simply beating his chest. Tell me it's not so.
It's not so. You know, again, we said the law works, you know, along the geologic timeline. But I have faith in this system. We've had worse periods in American history. You know, I heard 68 was really a bad year.
That was quite a year.
I mean, kids were dying by literally the hundreds and hundreds mm-hmm. per day in Vietnam, and people were being shot on our streets. And here's an interesting statistic. The worst year for cop killings has not been in the last 20 years. It was like between 1968 and 1973. I mean, being a policeman was just like you'd go out on the street and get shot every night. We just now see it all because social media can bring the smallest foot chase to you in New Orleans all over the world. So, no, Trump is not winning, and it's not a question of winning. The question is democracy going to win here? Is our constitutional order going to hold? And it will if I have anything to do about it. You know, I mean, I've got a small megaphone, but we all have to stand and defend democracy.
And so we heard from Maureen, who says she's a big fan of yours, Malcolm. What about Kushner's security clearance? Maybe you could check in on that one.
Yeah, Alan, I know you wanted me to talk about that earlier. Okay, here's how the security clearance process happens. If you're in government or if you're in the executive government, you know, the SES level, right, the senior executive service and appointee level, your security clearance background check is carried out by the FBI or a subcontractor, right, to the FBI. For the Department of Defense, they have their own subcontractors who carry out their own background checks. When that information is aggregated about you, there is not a decision made. They hand that information over to what's called a security clearance adjudication authority. And the White House has its own office of adjudication, which are people who are professionals who will say, you have X, Y, and Z in your background. Here, yes, you're cleared and you meet the basic minimum requirements for a top secret special compartmented information security clearance, which is what Jared Kushner needed to carry out its job. But since he had a whole slew of banking, a whole series of other investigations, that office would not adjudicate him, would not clear him. The president of the United States can go into that office and say, clear him. And then he gets adjudicated. I have a suspicion when it all comes out, he will have been cleared by fiat by Donald Trump.
Hmm. How come it took so long?
Well, he kept changing his financial records.
I've never in the history of my entire career heard of anyone ever changing your initials,
over 40 times, right?
Yeah.
And they let it go. Yeah. But they let it go is the point.
They let it go because he's the son-in-law of the president.
But they also kept coming back and saying this is inadequate, so he had to keep changing it.
Right.
I will tell you, I did not have to change mine once. I had top security clearance. It was very, very thorough.
Let me tell you this.
Everything was clear. Not a lot of zeros.
You know, I worked in the most secret of secret worlds, which is cryptology, right? And we had our clearances checked in real time. I got behind on a car payment twice, and I was hauled in. I did not know I was behind on a car payment. I thought I had sent in a check. I hadn't sent in a check, but my special security office knew what the status of my car payments were.
Wow.
They hauled me in. They put me in credit counseling. They put a direct deposit from my pay to that car payment. Then they warned me the next time my clearance would be pulled permanently. Jared Kushner got none of the... No, that's how it normally works. Jared Kushner is getting this nepotism bypass.
Jill says, "Hi, panel. Malcolm, wasn't it Pompeo and Pence who started the whole thing with Pompeo's son? No, oh, so sorry. With Pompeo's non-negotiable 12-point unilateral demands. That in turn led Kim to call Pence a dummy. In this case, I agree with Kim, which led Trump to cancel the meeting. Or am I missing something in this chain of events? Thank you," says Jill.
I think the very fact that we opened our mouths towards North Korea and started threatening war, that started this whole thing off. We knew we'd have to deal with North Korea. But you have to deal with North Korea from a position of knowledge and power. In this case, they started it with arrogance and bluster. Well, North Korea knows all about arrogance and bluster. They are the masters of arrogance and bluster. So they see this guy come and they say, Let me look through my intelligence staff. Someone give me a write-up about Donald Trump. Then they start pulling out the videos of him doing WWE, right? So he knows he's just a kind of guy who will just talk smack. Now you're in North Korea's terrain. They know how to deal with you. And they played us. So anything else that was done in between Donald Trump saying he would go to that meeting and today is attributable to anyone other than Donald Trump's own incompetence.
James, very quickly, we have only a minute. What's with a GOP-only FBI briefing? Are you kidding me? How is that even allowed to happen? We discussed that already.
Yeah, so. And Democrats were allowed in at the last minute.
Yeah, because they... Here comes something. Good morning. What happens when the North Korean hackers release texts and conversations from Trump's unsecured cell phone? You've mentioned that.
Yeah, I did a whole special program on air the other day about that. There are these things called Stingrays. That's the brand name for a cellular intercept platform that foreign countries use, we use, where we create a false cell phone tower. And if it's close enough to you, like over at the St. Regis on 16th Street, that cell phone will ping against that tower. And it will downgrade your super secure communications to almost idiot level communications.
But he doesn't even have super secure.
He does not.
He's on his flip phone.
Just got about 20 seconds here. But we are going to pause there. My thanks to everybody. Malcolm, thank you very much for being here. Always good to hear from you. Just a reminder, we're more than halfway through the tickets, and we had a good, $15,000, $16,000, so that's good. We want to thank everybody, so keep it coming. When they're gone, they're gone. We only have, less than 100 left. So it's July 13th, 8:15, opening of the doors, 10:30, 9 to 10:30 is the show. And the new book is The Plot to Destroy Democracy.
Also, picked Friday the 13th.
Excellent. Yes, it's perfect, isn't it? Judith, Alan, and Betsy are all going to stay with us because we're going to be talking about Clearwater in just a moment. We will do that. In the meantime, we'll be right back.